Today on Piano Jazz, we remember alto saxophonist Bud Shank, who passed away in April of 2009. Shank was a West Coast jazz institution with a cool swinging sound instantly recognizable among jazz enthusiasts. Shank joined McPartland in 2006, bringing along bassist Martin Wind and drummer Tim Horner.
It's amazing, all these years we haven't met. I don't know what happened.
It's that old New York and Los Angeles 3,000 miles apart problem, I guess. It's just I never get here very often.
I read where you were with all these great people that I met along the way, like Charlie Barnett.
Ah, yes.
I'm wondering if you were with him as late as the 50s.
No, I was with Charlie's band in 1947 and 48, I think, somewhere around in there.
Then I know they were crazy, but remember being in Columbus, Ohio, and everybody had a cap gun and were shooting under couches and armchairs and spooking little old ladies in the hotel.
Charlie was a crazy man anyway. He was great. He was great to me.
I thought he was a wonderful guy.
One story I always remember is Charlie had his own Cadillac convertible or some big thing that he drove in, but we had the usual band bus. He had hired a guy to be one of our band boys and carry the drums and things around, and the guy was huge. So Charlie decided that he should start to train him as a boxer. He was going to be his manager and have him be in the boxing ring. And they get him off the bus, and he had to do his road work, and we'd follow behind him with the headlights on while he did his road work at 3 o'clock in the morning every night for an hour. It never worked out. He never became a fighter. In fact, I think Charlie fired him a couple of weeks later, but it was hilarious at the time anyway.
Oh, my God, that sounds like Charlie, though.
Yeah.
But then you were with all the big bands, but I vaguely remember Kenton. That must have been in the 40s also?
Yeah, well, that was the other very important part of my apprenticeship or my growing up period. I actually joined the band in December of 1949 when he put together what he called the Innovations in Modern Music Orchestra. It was the orchestra with strings and French horns and tuba and all the saxophone players doubled on woodwinds.
Was that the Neophonic?
The Neophonic was later. That was in the middle 60s.
Oh, okay.
That was essentially the same thing, but that band didn't. The Neophonic band never traveled, and it did not have strings, but it had everything else. But they were both endeavors of Stan's, and he lost money on both of them. terribly, in
that
fact.
That sounds like him, too.
That's what you get for being a band leader, right?
God, I remember meeting up with the band in Chicago. I think I was still in my green and callow stage, having just arrived in Chicago from England with Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a hug, and it almost killed me.
Well, he was 6'5", and he used to look like a stork standing in front of the saxophone section when he was conducting. We'd be looking at our stands, and it stands way up here somewhere.
Was that fun with that band?
Oh, yes. It was a very great learning experience musically, and I made friends on that band that were lasting, and some of them I still am, the guys that are still around, but where I first met Shelly Mann and Shorty Rogers and Art Pepper and Buddy Childers and, I don't know, on and on, a whole bunch of guys that we remained friends for the rest of our lives, or their lives. They're all gone, and I'm still here. I don't know how that happened.
I remember Stan and Shelly Mann being on the cover of a Downbeat because Shelly had evidently said something rude about Stan, and Stan was allegedly beating him up. And the photo showed him beating up Shelly Mann on the cover of Downbeat.
lots of silliness went on with those
guys.
Yeah,
lots of silliness. Maybe we should get serious, play a tune.
Oh, I think it'd be a great idea.
Love that. And introduce the two guys that are with you, Martin Wind on bass, Tim Horner on drums, and we're going to do what?
Alone Together.
Okay.
Thank you.
really nice to start with a sort of upswinging tune, and it really felt so good. And it's hard to believe that, for me, that we never played together until this minute with this group.
Well, we played alone together. We're together alone or something.
Who wrote that tune? Was it Arthur Schwartz?
I really think it was Arthur Schwartz. It's a great song.
It is a great song. And I love minor tunes. There's something special about playing a minor tune. I don't know if it swings more or something about minor tunes that I like a lot.
Well, he makes it happy for us because he finishes the first and second phrase in major, in D major. How he got there, I never will figure out, but it's very logical and feels very good.
He wrote some great tunes.
Yeah.
Well, I have to know how you got started playing the horn. I mean, you didn't just pick up the horn and play. Were you a lone kid, or did you have brothers and sisters?
I had a younger brother who's now an attorney, and he still has no idea what I do for a living. He's questioned it all my life. I grew up on a farm in Ohio, outside of Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, really?
Really had no contact with music. Nobody in my family was musical. All I had was a little radio with a 2-inch speaker on it, where I used to hear the big bands that are played here in New York. And the usual thing of having the radio underneath my pillow at night when I'm supposed to be sound asleep listening to the big band.
I don't know how usual that is, but it sounds like it might be a good thing for you to be doing, because I guess that led you to playing on.
Yes, my first instrument was a clarinet. I got attracted to Artie Shaw, and actually Artie and Benny both. They both had big bands in the mid-30s, and they were very important. And I leaned more toward Artie Shaw than Benny. Strange how many other alto players, especially, that I've talked with felt the same way. I just talked with Lee Konitz recently. It happened with him. It happened with Phil Woods, Art Pepper. We were all attracted to Artie Shaw as youngsters.
But what happened after being under the sheets with the radio? Did you somebody teach you the clarinet?
Yeah, I started studying clarinet. And I went out to the big town, into Dayton, Ohio, to study with a real teacher instead of the band director out at the country town. And then I got my first saxophone when I was 12. First saxophone was a tenor. And I played tenor saxophone up until the time I was with Charlie Barnett's band. And
was that like your first gig with Charlie Barnett?
That was the first name band. No, I had spent some time working with a college band in the University of North Carolina before I went to Los Angeles. And band called Johnny Satterfield, which was really very, it's a very important band in the mid-40s. We played all over the South.
Wow.
And another extremely great learning period for me.
And from there to Charlie Barnett.
And from there to L.A. and then to Charlie Barnett, yeah.
And from there?
From there to the Stan Kenton Band, then to the Lighthouse All-Stars.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Then to my own quartet and those kinds. And then to the studios and on and on and on.
But that's why you were out there, and I never met you, because you were out there and I was here.
Yeah.
So, but now we're together, and it would be really nice to play another tune.
How about Beautiful Love?
That's a good one.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Beautiful Love, that's a great tune.
Beautiful Love is a beautiful song. It's a good old song. It's amazing how many great songs were written back in that period in the 30s, I guess it was, with the era that we call the Great American Song Form. There were some great composers back in those days, and it's given us a wealth, a real treasure trove of material to work with.
Well, I guess I learned all these tunes from the BBC. How did you learn tunes from records?
Just from hearing them and playing them, and I never actually went out and studied that period. It just happened. It really started with the bebop era with Charlie Parker and Dizzy, because they used to write originals based on the chord changes of some of those songs in that period. And then we went back and started playing the original songs. But think how many originals that were written for All the Things You Are, and I Got Rhythm. That's been done 100,000 times. But a lot of originals that came from that period in the early 40s. When Charlie and Diz first came out, they just used the Great American Song Form chord changes and wrote their own songs.
Boy, they sure did. Well, if you're just tuning in, my guest is Bud Shank. Martin Wind is on bass and Tim Horner on drums. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR, on the web at pianojazz.npr.org. Well, we've got to play another tune.
Lover Man? Does that sound like a nice idea?
That sounds like a great tune.
One, two, three. Thank you.
That's one of the great tunes.
That was a monumental record of that by Charlie Parker that I was always in love with when I was a kid. I think that stood alongside Coleman Hawkins' record of Body and Soul. It was a very important record to me and kind of inspired me. But it's a great tune. Great
did fun you to play. Did you meet him?
Charlie Parker? No. Yeah. I heard him play live only one time. I never had a chance to meet him or play on the same thing with him, but I did hear him play at one of the clubs in Los Angeles in the, I guess, late 40s, early 50s when he was out there.
He was something so special, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I read somewhere that you had a group with Shelly Manne, a chamber jazz.
Yeah, that was a group we called the LA Four with Lorenzo Almeida and Shelly and Ray Brown and myself in the actually middle, late 70s. Up through the 80s, we kept it together.
I remember that because you recorded several of those, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we had, I think, 10 or 12 CDs or LPs or whatever we were doing in those days. Some kind of device that we put it down on.
And flute?
I did a lot of flute work then. I don't play flutes anymore, but flute seemed very, very important with a group like that. When we broke, after we broke the group up in the middle 80s, I had a chance to sit back and say, what is it that I've always wanted to do? And how do I get better doing that? And it surfaced that all I ever wanted to be was a jazz alto player. And the best thing I could do to make the alto saxophone better was throw all my flutes away. So I did.
that's funny. So then you formed your own group, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. I started back as a soloist and with my own group. And then I resurrected the Lighthouse All-Stars for a while in the early 90s. All kind of various things in the last 20 years or so.
Well, that's a great place. I'm sorry I never did get there.
But a lot of good music did come from there, and a lot of guys that would come from to the West Coast from New York would always come by. Miles and Max Roach and guys like that were always in there sitting in with us.
That would probably be the first place they'd go to see what it was like.
Well, speaking of great music from the Los Angeles area, not only did it come from Lighthouse, but a lot of great music came from the motion pictures that were written out there. And one of the guys that was the most prolific and one of my most favorite writers was a guy named Johnny Mandel.
Oh, one of my favorites, too.
He most certainly was a jazz guy and came out of the... He even worked with Count Basie's band and a lot of other bands here in New York and then around Los Angeles.
He did?
Yes, he sure did.
I didn't know that.
And then he decided that the best future for him was to get into film writing. So he went to film director's school at UCLA just so he could learn how to communicate with the producers and directors. I've had a little experience with that.
That's probably a special language.
They have their own language, and nobody knows what the hell they're talking about. So he was smart. He went to UCLA for a year learning how to talk to those guys.
I think that's funny.
And one of his very first films was The Americanization of Emily, out of which came this lovely, lovely, lovely song called Emily.
Which we could play.
Okay.
Okay, I'd love that.
One, two, three. Thank you.
boy, I never played it at that tempo. That really, it's nice.
I sure don't think I have either. But it felt good.
It did. It can really swing at that tempo.
Yeah, it's... I think Zoot used to play it at that up kind of up-tempo like that. I guess that's where I came from. He used to like to do that.
Well,
A flat was Zoot Sims' favorite key.
A flat.
Well, I never figured out why, but it's
almost one of mine. I like A flat and D flat and all those kind of keys. Well, there's more coming up with Bud Shank. Our program is made possible in part by the Baldwin Piano Company, manufacturers of the pianos heard on Piano Jazz. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. What do you say we play another tune?
I think it's time for Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart. We haven't done any of that yet.
Well, let's do some.
How about a song called My Romance?
That's a good one. They're all good.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
It's funny. I always think of my romance as a real slow ballad, but it's really good at that tempo. If that's your regular tempo, I like it.
Isn't it funny how some of those great American song form songs are we totally violate what the composer had in mind, and we use it for our own purposes, but that those songs are so well written that they work at any tempo. You know, playing My Romance is a ballad, we just find we're playing it just fast like we did. That works too. And that's the sign of a good composer.
I guess so. Somebody got mad at me because I play I'm Old Fashioned as an uptune.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, that's good. I'm relieved. Well, there's more coming up with Bud Shank, bassist Martin Wind, and drummer Tim Horner. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. You know, we were talking before about how old some of these tunes are, and I was thinking of one we could play, You Go to My Head.
That's a great song. I can't remember who wrote this thing, but it's a marvelous thing to play.
But I'm thinking, like, I was a little child when that tune came out. I remember playing that when I was about 9 or something. I heard it on the radio. But it's a great tune. Couldn't we do that?
Oh, I'd love to play.
Well, whether you do it as a ballad or up or whatever. Waltz.
We'll kind of get in the middle groove.
Okay. You're the leader.
1, 2. Thank you.
It's funny, that's one tune that I've always played as a slow ballad in five flats.
And well, if you're going to play it in five flats, you better play it slow.
No, so it actually, it's fun doing these things differently than I've done them before. It makes you think. So, anyway, it's a shame we just have to end the show pretty soon. We've only got one more tune. What a drag that is.
Well, it's been a pleasure. I've been really having fun, Marion.
Well, I'm glad, because I have too. And it's not only fun having you, I've started to say having Tim and Martin as well. It's really an enjoyable get together. And what should you think would be a suitable tune to?
Night Has a Thousand Eyes.
Now that's...
I was going to quickly say, guys like me who only have one eye that works. And actually, they changed everything. Night Has a Thousand Eye. I only have eye for you. The eye have it. We got a lot of mullet one eye guys.
There's a lot of those tunes around. Oh, boy. Now, I'd love to do Night Has a Thousand Eyes. So let's have at it.
Night Has a Thousand Eyes. Thank you.
that's a wonderful tune, Night Has a Thousand Eyes. They should play that more often. Thanks for coming so we could play that tune.
Oh, thank you, Marian.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with Marian McPartland. Her guest has been saxophonist Bud Shank. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson, recording engineer Duke Marcos, assisted by Mike Rucci, mastering engineer David Mitchell, production coordinator David Lyon, executive producer Elaine Freeman. If you wish to contact us, our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Friends of Piano Jazz. Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and NPR. Contributors include the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org. And MetLife Foundation, committed to promoting healthy families and good nutrition, on the web at metlife.org. This is NPR.